This is Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.
This is Frank Skinner on Absolute... What's he called again? Absolute Radio with Emily Dean and Pierre Novelli. You can text the show on 81215. Follow us on X and Instagram at Frank on the Radio or email via Frank at absoluteradio.co.uk.
Yeah.
So you remember, you will recall when I went for a haircut recently and they wouldn't give me my line.
You assume a lot, my friend.
They wanted
to
give me skin fade. That's what they all want nowadays.
Yeah. And so you repeatedly said,
yeah,
not fade this skin.
Yes. I said, I want my line. I want to be able to see where the shaved section is. And then the sort of curtaining of the longer hair.
Mm.
That's what I want. So this week I was ready. I went in and I thought, I'm going to play my card so heavily on the table. So I said to this guy, yeah, I'd like it really short, zero at the sides, as they say. I said, and then this is the important thing. I need the line. You've got to leave the line. And he said, I don't. I said, you know, you normally fade it. Well, just leave the line. And this guy said to me, he said, but I don't want you to have this haircut. And I said, no, it's fine. I want it. I said, I can go. I will go if you don't.
This
is
like when you said to King Charles, I beseech you.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's my head. That's what you spoke. He was Prince then as well.
King Charles said, it's my head. And
yeah.
History.
No, but if that's how you persuade members of the royal family, you beseech them.
You beseech them, yeah.
Frank, may I ask a couple of questions? I just need some details. Where was this establishment? Same place?
This is my regular... the Turkish barbers.
Local to you?
Oh, they do a great haircut, but they don't want to do mine.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't know that the barber... I remember years ago, I was telling you about this, I think, Pierre, that one of my friends wanted a mohawk, and he was about 15, and he went into the barbers, and the barber said he had to bring a note from his parents. It goes against the whole mohawk tradition, yeah, doesn't it? The sort of person who wants a mohawk doesn't want to arrive with a note.
No.
Anyway, I couldn't get a note from my parents, obviously. So I persuaded him to do it. And then there was a guy of a similar age to me in the next seat, and I heard him say to the barber, oh, is that what I should be having? And the guy said, no, it's for teenagers.
Oh, my God.
How did you get it over the line, though? Because he was very firm, it sounds like.
I know, but I was saying, really, I said I'd go. Not in a threatening way, but I said, if you don't want to do it, I don't want to make you do something you don't want to do.
Sounds quite a stressful experience, Trotter.
Yeah, well, in the end, I said, that's great. That's exactly what I wanted. Brilliant. I gave him, £5 tip or £10 or somewhere.
Ooh.
And he said, he says, I know that is a lot. He said,
your witness.
He said, if my boss sees you, he will say, no, if your boss, he will say to me, why did you do it? That's what happens when wives visit people in prison. Through the perspex. So they don't say it to them, but I asked for it.
It's a cycle of OJ's book.
Exactly.
I wasn't expecting such a firm moral code from the barbers.
I would like to interject at this point.
Go on, then.
My next book. I would like to interject at this point and say, I noticed your hair coming in this morning and thought, that's a lovely haircut.
Did you really?
I genuinely noticed it and thought, Frank's hair looks the best it's looked for ages.
Well, I'll tell you something else as well. He said to me, do you want me to wash it? And I've never been asked that before. They just wash it.
Mm.
You know, and not just there, but every barber's, because I think they charge more if they wash it. So they suddenly put the towel around my neck. I go down into the sink and they wash it. And often I think, well, I don't really need it washed, but it's part of the thing. I'd never questioned it before. No. And he said, do you want me to wash it? I said, no.
Yeah.
And that was it. He didn't wash it. That a revelation. Oh. I never, you know, things you never, ever question.
Yeah.
Like when you're going on holiday, could you post your luggage? ahead of you so you don't have to carry it.
Oh, lovely idea.
Wouldn't that be great?
Shipping.
You just post it. You say, I'm going to Portugal, post your luggage to the hotel. You don't have to carry it about, worry about it, anything.
No, and it's not remotely hassly, the posting suitcases.
I think it would be as hassly as actually. Remember, I carry my luggage. I'm not one of these.
You could post my wallet to the restaurant.
I'm not one of the modern idlers who feel they have to drag everything on wheels. Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio. And we were just reconsidering my haircut thing. I think the point is that the people at the barbers are trying to give you what suits you. And I've completely abandoned my looks as being an advantage to me. And what I want my haircut to say is this guy's an interesting alternative thinker.
Yes.
So it's not about looking good. It's about looking a bit weird. That's what I'm after.
I think you found your look. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And it's a great look.
Yeah.
It's got something of... It's a little bit George Orwell.
It's a bit Weimar.
A little bit Samuel Beckett.
1920s yeah. European novelist. That's what I'm...
Is that what you say to the barber?
No, it's no good saying that to him. What I have to say to the barber is, oh, come on, please.
Give me the line.
Yeah. Something I've never said on, like, most showbiz.
Yeah. I think it's not so much that they are really interested in how you end up looking and whatever. A bit, because it reflects on them. But I think they're fashion followers, and they just think the thing in now is skin fades, and that's it.
Yeah, well, it's actually on the wall, you know, skin fade, whatever it is, 35 quid.
It's the they should remember the full extension of the phrase, the customer is always right. The full phrase is, the customer is always right in matters of taste.
Well, my skin has faded. They don't need to do anything to it.
Do you think hairdressers are ever honest? And 8, 12, 15. Do you think they're ever honest and say, I agree with you. I don't think this works. I think we should redo it. Because in every instance I've had, when I've had a haircut, there was a time when I was 13 and she cut it all off very short. I hadn't asked for that. And she said, never mind, you look like Juliet Bravo, who was...
I remember her.
Who was she, Frank?
She was Jill Gascoigne,
I don't know, but it was... She wasn't someone you would want to look like as a... I wanted to look like Madonna.
She's not listening, JB.
No, as a 14-year-old girl, Frank.
No, okay.
She was as... What was she, Frank? A sort of detective.
I've got her mixed up with another police woman.
Yes, you've got her mixed up with some with a gentle touch.
Yes.
Which I was in. But anyway.
which I've always had. I tell you, I had a very, you like to think, with your haircut, like you say, you like to say, yes, I think a bit differently from the masses. Yeah. You're pathetically saying that.
Yeah.
I had a terrible advert for my home life the other day when I was talking to someone on Hampstead Heath, and she laughed, and laughed quite loudly, and my dog jumped. And I thought, that's a suggestion. A suggestion that my dog does not hear laughter at home.
What was that?
Especially female laughter.
Yeah.
Recoiled.
What?
Oh, man. I'll tell you what we did do, though. We met. We were in Nottingham, because me and Pierre's on tour at the moment. Where are we tonight?
We are in Morpeth. It's not Morpeth.
No, it's not Morpeth.
Where is it?
Well, in the meantime, while you two...
We can't forget where we are. Oh, no,
Dartford.
We're in Dartford.
Dartford.
Yeah, we're at the Orchard in Dartford.
Oh, yes.
Wow. Anyway, we was in Nottingham.
Scramping.
We was in Nottingham last weekend, and my friend Molly came to visit us. It was a veterinary student. So we quizzed her. We had a sort of vet's quiz.
Yeah.
And... Pierre had a great question. When a dog needs a blood transfusion, where do you get the blood from? Because you never hear anyone say, oh, yeah, I'm just taking my dog to give blood.
To give blood at the dog blood bank.
Yes, what did Molly say?
She says when the human blood goes past its sell-by date, they use that for... No, she didn't.
Oh, my.
That was what I suggested. It's a shame to waste it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only a dog. Even if you give it them as an aperitif, it's not thrown away. But was very interesting. Did we ever get to the... I think she said people actually do take their dogs to give blood.
You can.
Do they get a cup of tea and a biscuit?
and
then they die, of course, because apparently, according to modern theory, if a dog has a biscuit, it dies immediately. Considering I had dogs that didn't really eat anything else, well, maybe a bit of chocolate.
Oh, here we go. It was all right in my day for the dogs.
It was. Yeah, their entire constitutions have changed over about 40 years. Now, if they have chocolate, they implode.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
Frank, Julia Stoneley has got in touch. You were asking earlier about whether you could post your luggage. Oh, you weren't asking.
No, I was just saying things you never question. Why do we take our luggage with us when we just post it and then it'll be at the hotel waiting for us?
So Julia Stoneley says, Buenos dias, here in Spain, people regularly send their luggage through the post office.
Ah.
The suitcase is weighed and it has a stamp put on it.
Oh, that's brilliant. What,
like
the top right hand corner?
I love a Phileas Fogg suitcase. You don't get them these days.
That's true, isn't it? All the stamps on.
You don't get stickers with like Istanbul and stuff like in those things. I did buy some. Do you remember I bought some vintage luggage? There was a guy whose name was Bonnie something. You know how posh blokes are sometimes called Bonnie?
I love a Bonnie.
Is it Bonnie Sterling or something like that? Anyway, all his stuff was sold in auction and I bought some suitcases. The suitcases were heavier than anything I've ever put into a suitcase. So that was the problem. But they look fantastic.
I like the sort of case that someone would carry in, say, the 39 steps.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I'm after in life.
Yeah, or if I've got a more formal business meeting, I go, did you send for an exorcist case? That one.
Michael Bentine. Oh, dear. I'm sorry, I just laughed out loud when you said if I've got a formal business meeting.
I occasionally have a formal business meeting.
Yeah.
I'll be having a lot more, I think, with my bank manager, the way things are going.
we've actually
won't be formal. Perhaps he'll be a bit off with me.
Yeah, we'll be informal.
A bit more relaxed than I expect from him. Anyway. Yeah.
Amanda in Reading backs up the Spain luggage
posting. Amanda Reddington. Yeah.
But from a different country, to Frank, Emily and Pierre, you can post your luggage in Japan. On holiday in Japan, every time we moved on, we sent our luggage separately and we could track its progress via an app showing a little suitcase moving down a map.
That's the most brilliant. The Japanese, man, they've got it all sorted.
Yeah.
When I go on walking holidays with my partner, and sometimes my child as well, we have a thing that in one part of the country is called pack horse. So what you just put a light bag on your back and leave your big case at the... B&B or wherever you're staying, and then a man comes in a car and he drives it onto your next destination. That's how life should be. I don't want big bags around me.
You can't have big bags because you refuse to use wheels.
Oh, wheels.
Ben Harrington has reached out to us to say, hello, darlings, I'm in already.
That was, I think, Charlie Drake's catchphrase. I know that was, hello, my darling.
Oh.
Where are you going to go for your Charlie Drake references?
Oh, no, Charlie Drake, much hated, apparently, in the industry.
He was sort of up there with Madonna in terms of the bad rep.
He got knocked out on live television, Charlie Drake. He used to do a lot of stunts, and he was live at the London Palladium. He had to go through a bookcase head first, and no one knows whether it was accidental or deliberate. But someone went in; it was all very, very loosely put together, so he could. And some carpenter guy went in and sort of put all the screws and stuff in it. So when they threw him, it just knocked him out.
Straight into a really well-made bookcase.
Yeah, exactly. But like I say, he wasn't loved.
It was the carpenter there going like, oh, see, that's craftsmanship, not a dent.
Well, there's a small one in Charlie, but there you go.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
Frank, may I share this with you? It's from Emmett and Guna.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who's based, I believe, seems to be based in Basel.
In Switzerland.
Oh, yeah, B-A-S-L-E.
As my American fashion colleagues used to call it, Basel.
Oh.
Regarding luggage services, here in Switzerland, the... I love this email already.
Can I just do a sidebar here? Mm. I've been watching... obviously, with the culmination of Is It Cake? Series 3 this week. Mm. Which is a lot of references to the CMA final. But also,
a premiere.
When did Finale take over as what people call the last episode of a series? Because they use it in England now, don't they? They talk about the finale.
I think around the same time season crept in.
Mm. Oh, season.
America.
We used to have series. It's the Americans.
Yes,
they will take over.
Sorry to interrupt.
Emmett and Guna, regarding luggage services, here in Switzerland, the Swiss railways will collect your luggage from home and take it to
your... How do they do that?
Your...
They're on tracks.
I'm still... Listen, they will take it... to your destination.
That's fantastic.
Also, you can get your bikes collected. You assume a lot, Emerton. I don't have a bike.
That's
nor
brilliant.
Can I really ride one.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
I always think, you know, I think basically we're the best country in the world. And then you hear stuff like that. Remember when Madonna moved to England and said, well, I ordered this fridge and the guy brought it like 2 hours late? And I thought, oh, my God, you're going to hate living here. That's great. 2 hours late. Congratulations. Wow. Oh, that sounds brilliant, though. See, there's our ways that we don't even think about getting our luggage ahead of us.
Mm.
I had what I thought was a sensation. You know, occasionally I have $1 million idea, which I just give to the public.
Yes.
Well, like you say that. Idea for Got Kwan.
Leather Christmas crowns.
Yeah.
Do you remember those? So you can use them year after year.
Trouble is, it's not a growth industry. People will just keep the leather Christmas crown and hand them
out. It's not a growth industry, but it's a terrible idea.
It's just my grandfather's leather Christmas crown.
Why would you want a leather?
That's what I do, because somebody sent me one and I get it out every year, so you're quite right.
Yeah. He thinks he has these great ideas, but it's things like leather crowns.
But the thing...
not a great idea, Frank.
It's held up remarkably well. But anyway, it was based on the idea the only hat I really look good in is a crown at Christmas.
Yeah.
It's quite a narcissistic idea for the rest of the
Anyway, company. I had an idea for... You know, people are driving electric cars now. I don't know if you've heard of this. This might... You know, for your phone, you can get a mobile charger that you carry. I thought you should get a mobile charger that you can keep in the boot in the shape, wait for it, in the shape of a petrol can.
Why?
Whereas if you run out of electricity in the middle of nowhere, you can get another 20 miles out your charger and that'll get you to a place you can get charged
up. Why does it have to be in the shape of a petrol can?
Because it's following the tradition of get a petrol can if you run out of petrol.
We're trying to get away from the tradition of the petrol can.
We don't want to get away. It's a lovely reminiscence. It doesn't have to be in the shape of a petrol can, but I don't think you can get mobile chargers for electric cars.
Okay. What do you think of this idea, Pierre?
I think it could be in the shape of a big charger, like a mobile phone charger.
Oh.
It could be fun.
Or maybe like a massive...
wire, you mean?
But with the plug as well, just for...
Medieval night horse. Another charger.
This is Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.
This is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio with Emily Dean and Pierre Novelli. You can text the show on 81215, follow us on X and Instagram at Frank on the Radio, email via Frank at absoluteradio.co.uk. Now we'll have to have some actual words.
No, listen, I've just realised I think I started something and didn't finish it.
Oh.
And this was
not
from...
Not for the first time.
How dare you. Ben Harrington.
Oh, yes, that rings
a bell. Do you remember?
Yes. Did we not get through, Ben?
We didn't finish,
Sorry, Ben.
He said...
Ben, the two of us need look no more. Song about
a rat?
A rat, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had dinner with the man who wrote the words a few weeks ago.
Did you?
Gone black.
Okay. Not the man who sung it, I hope.
No, hello. I didn't have, no, I'm afraid he's no longer with us.
No. Hello, darlings. Do you remember? That's how we got on to Charlie Drake.
Of course.
Harrington led us to Drake.
Yeah.
And then we left Harrington hanging.
Yeah. And didn't we have Docs earlier as well?
We did.
Scrooge
Docs
McDuck.
And Drakes.
Ah. Yeah. You got us onto Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Never one of my favourites. He felt like more of the modern pantheon. Scrooge McDuck.
I've never really gone into Scrooge McDuck. What
he had a
relative,
Scottish accent.
Was he, what relative was he
what
to?
What relative? Yeah, what is it? Who many, do you think you are, Scrooge
How many racial
McDuck?
Stereotypes were they getting in with Scrooge McDuck? So, what was he related to Huey, Dewey and Louie?
Those are his nephews.
Oh, OK. So he's the brother of Donald
Sorry,
Duck.
I like the way you sound. Like, those are his nephews.
Those are his nephews.
Or nephews.
The brother.
They're famously his nephews.
Donald Duck's brother. Ridiculous. Donald Duck's brother. Oh,
I think
man.
So.
I love that. Sure.
Does he look like Donald Duck?
But well, he's a duck.
Very, very similar.
Yeah, but there were different kinds, Frank.
I know, but
has he got a green
not in
backside?
Disney. You don't get mallards dressed up in sailor suits in Disney.
Well, it depends what you ask for. Well, a specialist interest, but
oh,
that's
no, his
all.
Donald Duck is his nephew, and those
Hang on.
And Huey, Louie, and whatever are Donald Duck's nephews.
So no, I knew they were his nephews. That's why that became.
So he must be their great uncle.
Oh, you gave me erroneous information.
Great uncle Scrooge McDuck.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That changes everything.
Why?
Because I really like the idea of Donald Duck having a brother.
Do any of
a bit like Mycroft. He's slightly even more ill-tempered.
An even angrier duck.
Do you know that's one of my other hated things is when they merge sort of literary figures with cartoons. I think just don't ruin it. Keep to your own areas.
All
don't
right.
merge it like
the,
that.
The Donald Duck Wikipedia page under characteristics has voice, personality, health... Enemies.
Who's his enemies? Who is his enemies?
Donald has numerous enemies.
Does he? I thought he was quite benign, Frank.
But
who's his
apparently,
enemies?
Apparently, Scrooge McDuck's only enemy is socialism.
Yes, the United Workers.
Ben, don't give up. We will get round to your
Well, it's appropriate you've said don't give up because he has Gabriel in his. In his missive.
Okay. Oh, I think we're going far from the Madding crowd. I'm looking forward to Ben Harrington's, but, you know, we have things we have to do before. Keep with us, Ben.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
Okay, Matt Harrington. Not Matt Harrington.
No, Ben Harrington.
Ben Harrington.
Hello, darlings. Didn't the sheep all jump off the cliff shortly after the deploating from Gabriel? Unintended consequences. That is from Ben Harrington.
No, I think what happened was that Gabriel's sheep were... Gabriel Oak was a shepherd and one of his dogs went mad and they drove Gabriel's sheep off the cliff, thus leaving him destitute. And so he had to go around doing things like mobile sheep piercing.
Mm. Well, maybe if he hadn't been so good at debloating his sheep, they would have floated.
Oh, but they weren't his sheep that had the bloat.
Mm.
The bloat. You shall have a bloat when the boat comes in. Maybe you should have said that to him. You shall have a fishy on a little dishy.
I found the name for what that sheep bloat is.
Oh.
Ruminal tympany.
Oh.
Isn't that good?
Isn't timpani a
type of drum?
Orchestra.
It's spelled differently, but it is fun to imagine drumming a fully inflated sheep. You get a good sound out of them.
I don't care about the symphony, the woodwind, or the timpani.
I don't care about the symphony. I'm suffering rural timpani.
That would have worked because it then goes, I'm sitting in the balcony in the very last row, which is the best place for someone with rural timpani.
Sorry, ruminal.
I'm sorry, rural.
It is rural, though. You don't want urban ruminal timpani, an inflated sheep in London. Zone one.
Well, you'd be all right Pride weekend. You could parade it.
Frank, also, German fleet at Harg 83 has just pointed out, or just reminded us, that you did a crisp campaign and you were associated with, was it Roast Dinner?
It was Frank Roast.
Frank Skinner Roast Dinner.
Yeah, something of that. I had to wear a giant chicken. I should say, I did not gain financially from it. It was a comic
relief.
Comic relief, yeah.
And someone's just pointed out that Lionel Messi has brought out some crisps called Messi Roast Chicken. So I'm just saying.
What does that mean?
Well, Messi, it means that he's stealing Frank's job.
What's about roadkill?
It's been dropped.
He's stealing Frank's jobs off him.
What's wrong with Lionel Messi? He's doing a sponsorship for Hard Rock Cafe.
Is everything all right at home, Lionel?
I think he's a bit short.
Is
on
he sleeping
funds.
On the sofa?
Oh. What's wrong with him? How much money does he need?
He was in the Call of Duty game as well. You could run around with his face.
Yeah, he'll do anything. Messi, they call him. Yeah. She says yes to everything.
Hello, this is Lionel. I can't take your call at the moment. Leave a message. Yes, I'll do it.
Yeah. Pero sí, bueno.
Honestly, though. And he got done. Do you remember him and his dad were doing tax evasion stuff? He's money
really?
Mad.
Money mad Messi.
Yeah.
Why does he keep saying yes to everything, Frank?
Because that reason. He's very, very greedy. Wow, and these are the role models our children look up to. My. Frank
Skinner on Absolute Radio. So, Frank, discussing greed and thrift, e.g. Lionel Messi and Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah.
New sponsor.
Is that
new
we're
partnership.
Calling him now?
Greed and thrift are sort of two characters on your shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it your dad would say if you threw bread on the fire?
Yeah, he said if you threw bread on the fire, the devil would appear.
Yeah. Do you know who else shares that commitment?
it was
God
my dad.
Say, where were you brought up?
Well, it was
in a
Catholic home I was brought up. Yeah, it was my dad, not a public service broadcasting.
That sounds like an episode of Blackadder.
Well, he was very anti-wasting food, which I've inherited, and it was to stop us doing that because we had a coal fire. So, yeah, don't throw bread on the fire.
Wasting food.
But there's another thing, like if we left two knives crossed accidentally, then the devil would come as well. He was always.
Well, of course. We all know
was
the
always
devil
in the air.
Come.
I think he was, must have been local.
I was going to say, it seems like the devil has quite a lot of availability.
Same postcode, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I'd say, devil? Keep yourself a little bit, you know, a little bit of mystery about yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. Lucifer, leave them wanting more.
He's to the opening of an envelope, the devil.
Yeah, he was the Bradley Walsh of my childhood.
Oh, here we go, the devil again.
Don't throw bread on the fire or Bradley Walsh will appear.
Bradley Walsh, they call him. Oh, man.
Well, you would approve, and your dad would approve, I presume, of Hilton Hotels. New No Waste campaign. I don't
know. Oh, God, this is interesting, though, I think.
And we're in hotels a lot, so we're very aware of what's available.
All right, Lionel Messi, greedy boy.
Can I tell you something?
We're in hotels a lot.
Where we're on tour.
We were in Edinburgh in a hotel.
Yes.
We stopped off coming back from somewhere.
Yeah.
And the next morning, I had porridge at breakfast. You hadn't come down, I don't think. And I had porridge.
No, the biggest bear, he doesn't come to late.
And I said, exactly. And I'm baby bear. Omar is mommy bear. Yeah. And I said to the woman, do they have porridge? And the waitress, and she said, yeah. And I said, because I was in Edinburgh, I said, "Is it?" She said, "It's plain porridge." I said, "Has it got salt in it?" Oh. You know, because in Scotland people put. She said, "I'm not the chef." Oh. Believe it.
I quite like her.
Yeah. That's a more authentic Scottish response, you might say.
There was another one. I think this was in Scotland. There was two people with they had name badges on, and I said. Emily or Harry, can you help me with that? And they looked at me like, how do you know our names? It was like, they look terrified. You've got patches on. You're not supposed to do that. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
Well, the Hilton has launched a zero-waste menu, which I admire the sentiment. I'm a little sceptical, but they've launched a sort of menu.
You're always a little sceptical.
Yes.
Oh, is this the leftovers one?
Basically, they're charging you the same money for leftovers at the Hilton now.
So it's £40.
Yes.
What was on it? Potato peel chips?
Yes.
Would you eat that, Frank Skinner?
Potato peel chips?
Yeah.
Oh,
No?
Well, I don't
Aren't
like...
Aren't they a bit curly-whirly?
I don't like wedges when they've got the...
The skin on?
Because they have skin on. Yeah.
I've seen you eat the skin of a jacket potato.
Oh, I'll do that.
Why don't you like a wedge, Frank?
Hold on, you're right. Why?
Hang on. I'm Columbo here. Just one more thing. I don't quite understand.
And also, why do they call them jacket potatoes when it's more of a suit? It's not like you get a different... They're not different coloured at one end.
They haven't got some Donald
Duck. Like it's wearing
Duck.
A sports jacket and chinos.
Yeah, why do they call it
it's
that?
It's a suit potato. You open up the whole thing.
I'd say it's a onesie.
Oh, yeah.
It's more of a onesie with the zipper exposed. The
You've cut it off.
Sexy onesie.
Sexy onesie.
Could I have a sexy onesie potato, please?
I don't think I'd want to ask that. We was in a cafe yesterday and Pierre ordered something and was so disgusted with the woman's attitude. He said, I don't think I'll eat anything at all.
I didn't order anything.
It took too long.
They just ignored everyone in the queue and they were moving as if underwater. So I thought, life's too short for this.
Should have gone to a spud you like.
As a man after my own heart, he would rather starve than put up with that attitude. Oh, I love touring.
Frank Skinner. Absolute Radio. So Hilton is trying to seem greener by cobbling together...
Okay.
Well, the reason I'm confused because they say, it's reducing waste and stuff, ox heart and potato skin chips and treacle tart made from leftover bread and things. And the bread thing makes sense because hotels must go through a lot of bread.
Well, the ox heart doesn't make...
Because where else am I getting the ox?
Hold on, are they getting a whole ox in?
Tearing out its heart.
And there's a heart left
like a
over.
Sacrifice.
Yeah, we got an ox in, we use everything, and then we throw the heart away, and that's wrong.
That's it. So now we're going to use the heart and throw all the rest of the ox away. We've learned our lesson.
But they don't get ox. Where does the ox heart come from wasted?
You took the words out of my mouth.
Oxtail soup's the only thing I can think of.
Heart and tail, there's more to an ox than that.
Yeah, maybe it's hard to pull the tail off without the heart coming out.
Coming out fully connected.
Yeah. You had that.
Did they use oxen for real live action panatas?
That sounds like in your biblical household, you would have had that. Pull the tail off the oxen.
And the heart.
And the heart shall come out.
But
Ezekiel speak.
And then Satan shall appear from the flames.
Someone at the Hilton was saying, it's a shame, you know, we use all this ox and then we throw the heart away.
We use all this ox?
But that's what we're saying.
I mean, come on.
But that doesn't make any sense.
Hang on, they also said...
Yeah.
Well, some of the leftover meal will be made up from poached Scottish salmon cheeks.
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't know fish had cheeks.
Yeah. Well, my
flat-faced.
My partner. you must.
They've had that operation.
Do you never address a young fish affectionately and just pinch its cheeks?
I've never seen a fish and thought great cheeks.
Well, salmon cheeks sounds like 1950s flirting. Hey there, salmon cheeks.
Hey there.
There was another one.
What are you doing, salmon cheeks?
There was one that they said that cod's tongue is another thing you can eat there. That sounds like something from a restoration. Cod's tongue, man. You out of your mind? No, but Kath eats whole sea bass. Kath, my partner, in case you're new to the show.
Oh, she. Do you know
what? Not like a seal.
I was going to say.
Kath does basically eat beat this menu.
No, but Kath picks and picks at a sea bass till there's nothing left. And one of the things I've watched her do is scoop out its cheeks.
Mm. Does she?
Yeah, so they're definitely edible.
She leaves fish looking like... the only other person I've ever seen leaving fish looking like that is a cartoon character.
Yeah, when they hold one up and it's
an alley cat sort of goes whoop and pulls it out.
Yeah,
and
then it looks like when you see a fish electrified at a cartoon and you just see that show through.
Quite funny trick.
So I remember, I think, Tom in Tom and Jerry preparing for a date by combing his hair with a fishbone.
Does he?
Yeah, very vain.
He says it was Tom, he does that.
Terribly vain, Tom.
I like the people who are on your hit list today. Lionel Messi, very greedy.
Yeah.
Tom from Tom and Jerry, vain.
This is a serious question. Do people still do tongue kissing?
Oh, Frank, that's disgusting.
We were talking about cod's tongues.
What's that got to do with tongue kissing? We're talking about cods.
I know, but I was once dumped. God. I was dumped by a woman, and then I found out, like, 6 weeks later, it's because I thought you were supposed to do the tongues thing, and she was appalled by it. But she didn't say, don't do that, thank you. She let me do it and then dumped me.
Oh.
It's quite an odd time to bring this up.
Well, I'd just like to know if people still... Is it gone? Is that an old-fashioned...
No, it's old-fashioned to not do it, I think.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
you were dumped for being a modern, transgressive...
Yeah, exactly. Isn't it always the way? Once again, I was dumped for being different, and now history repeats itself. this show is the tongue-kissing of commercial radio.
Oh, God.
Yes, we were talking about saving food.
Yeah. And funnily enough, 690 has just got in touch from the West Midlands. This is Mel. My mom is a lovely Brummy thing I love, because you say that.
M-O-M.
I love that.
Yeah. Fat Boy Slim, I tell you this, texted me after my autobiography came out and said, were you brought up in America? Because I call my mom M-O-M. But where does mom... Who's people actually say mom?
Everyone else in the country says mom.
Also, you know what, fat
more
boy?
More fools them.
You know what, fat boy?
What?
You're always favouring questions over congratulations.
Yeah. No, it's nice.
Yeah, fat boy's lovely. Mel in...
Do you remember Fat Boy's Diner?
Yes,
I do.
Oh, that was good.
Okay. more later from Frank Skinner on what was good. Mel from, how do you say this, Frank? Is it Stourbridge?
Yes, Stourbridge. Stourbridge is where Jude Bellingham comes from.
Oh!
Arguably the world's finest footballer.
Yes. From the West Midlands. My mum still calls it food for the devil if we waste food.
Oh, well, there you go, you see.
Still around.
The devil was a key figure in environmentalism in the West Midlands.
The devil was cited an awful lot in your childhood.
Do you think we could finally unite the sort of environmental hard left with the traditional Catholic Church if we just got the devil involved?
Exactly.
More ecological. That's aluminium for the devil if you don't recycle cans.
And the new Green Party... candidate for Brighton, the devil. Oh, wow. Because when I'm in bed tonight, I'm on my own, I'll be thinking, oh, God, I shouldn't have done that. Just about the devil.
I shouldn't have crossed the line.
You know what he's like.
Does he not? He hasn't got a good sense of humour, I don't imagine.
Oh, no, I don't even want to think about it.
Okay,
He's more of a prankster.
Is he?
Yeah, because he'll ask you...
He's getting concerned.
He'll grant you a wish, but in the end it'll be a sort of big ironic prank.
Yeah, I like the idea of eternal torture being a big prank. Anyway.
Yeah.
This thing about taking food from the breakfast that's left over.
Yes. Yeah.
When I stayed at the Disney Hotel recently...
In the Spider-Man suite.
In the Spider-Man suite, yeah.
Spider-Man. Change of sheets.
Spider-Man.
Yes.
Okay.
There was the biggest honeycomb I have ever seen. The whole breakfast. There's all these bowls, and above it, like they had a big screen, a TV screen, was a massive honeycomb that you could just scoop. And I was wondering, I don't understand the environmental aspect. Am I basically eating a housing estate?
Like Godzilla?
For bees, exactly.
That'll be talked about for years to come in the bee community.
Yeah, but...
But it's true, the great earthquake.
No, they hang it on the wall.
Am I literally eating something that the bees... has been taken from the bees that they wanted?
Yeah. That's true.
All honey's been taken from the bees.
No, but the comb. The comb sounds like it's actually their homes.
I know that because Billy Piper told me about that.
Oh, yeah?
Do you remember that song?
No.
Do you remember when Billy Piper was a pop star? Oh,
no,
I love it.
She sang about bees.
She did a song called Honey to the Bee.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, in this thing that...
Pierre looks confused. What? I'm not lying, Frank, am I?
Honey to the Bee.
And it was about the bees.
It was
about returning honey to the bees. I don't know what it was about, really. It's about love.
Yeah.
Probably some tongue kissing.
She did. She said, I should be kissing you. Okay.
I should be kissing you. And then there was this sound effect. That went, all right. Actually, on this pre-processed waste food, there's a thing called the bee's knees cocktail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That can't be right. That can't be that, can
we? We keep throwing away the knees of the bee. We love bee sirloin, bee rump steak. But the knees of the bee are swept into the
bees. I'd love to eat a bee's heart.
Just the tiniest delicacy.
What about bee fingernails? They have little toes and fingers.
I know, but a little bee's heart. What a lovely present for Valentine's Day.
That's horrible, Frank.
Horrible. You'd swat one with a newspaper.
I love a bee.
I can't eat it seven hearts.
I love a bee.
Open a little ring box and say, it's a bee's heart.
Still qualify as awful. God, the questions. This whole idea asks more questions than it answers. Yeah. Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio. That was Bruce Springsteen, and he's dancing in the dark. It's the boss. That's what it's going to be like when I've gone. You better get used to it. So this is... this is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio with Emily Dean and Pierre Novelli. You can text the show on 81215. Follow us on X and Instagram at Frank on the Radio. Email via frank@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Frank, may I just say...
Of course, my darling.
Thank you. Whilst we're on the subject of food, Adam Lethbridge, one of our regulars, has got in touch with a screen grab of the new Takis. Dragon sweet chili.
I've already had some because...
They look a bit... Do you know what? They look a bit Satan-friendly. Apropos of crisps...
They look a bit like someone who's chasing Big Lady H.
I like Satan-friendly. Don't worry. If you do drop any of these crisps, Satan can eat them
safely.
It's my safe favorite.
Apropos of crisps, or crisps, as we call them in Zambia...
What do they call them in Zambia?
Crisps.
Crisps, apparently.
Oh, do they?
I trust that you've sampled the new flavour. Very tasty. And Emily, gentler on the eyeballs.
Yes.
I don't know if he's suggesting I'm gentler on the eyeballs after the extensive surgery I have had.
One of the management team at my... our management agents, if you include Pierre in this.
Yeah.
Yes. It was called James Taylor. When you're tired and trouble and you need... He brought me back some from, I think, Los Angeles.
Were they the black dragon sweet chili?
They were the dragon sweet chili. Yeah.
How did you find them, Frank?
They were a little mild for me.
Do you know what? Your tastes have become very extreme.
Well, that's the trouble with Takis. They tear out your taste buds and trample them on the ground.
They radicalised your mouth.
They did?
Yeah. That's a new slogan. Yeah, we're going to radicalise your mouth.
That's good.
Yeah.
On the food waste thing, I eat a lot of meals... Basically, eating by numbers. I eat the stuff that's going off. So, you know, that's my next meal. That's how I decide. And even
you eat chronologically.
I'm thinking, I really want to eat this, but this is older, so I need to eat this.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah. And my sister-in-law came around the other day and she said, have you got any eggs? And the only eggs we had was 14th of April.
Mm.
And this was like, I don't know, May the 1st. And I said, all we've got to do is put them in water and if they float, you can't eat them. So we did it and it was all fine.
Yeah, really? Had you kept them in the fridge?
Pardon?
Had you kept them in the fridge?
Yes. I'm not one of those people that don't keep eggs in the fridge. We didn't have a fridge in my childhood, so now I've got one. I'm going to damn well employ it. But the we used to have a pig bag, which hung on the school gates, a big, like a sack, where people would take their waste food and put it in that, and it would be taken away to wherever pigs lived near Smethwick, probably not that near.
And now to the Hilton Hotel.
No, to the Hilton Hotel. There are pigs outside with placards saying, our children are starving. What are you doing?
Don't give the pig bag the sack and things like that.
Very good.
Save our pig bag.
Yeah.
Pigs have rights too.
Keep your trotters off our pig bag. They're all chanting and standing on hind legs.
Oh, it's all gone a very Orwellian.
Yeah, Paris Hilton is terrified.
Paris Hilton said that she discovered religion, Christianity, when she was 35 or something, and she said she'd never seen the Bible before then. She's part of the Hilton family.
Look in the drawers, Paris.
Look in
Open
the drawers.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
I learn a lot on this show from the readers who send in all sorts of amazing stuff, but also from you two. And now I discover that the word throuple
exists.
Yeah, and when you said it to me, I still didn't work out what it was, although it's a portmanteau, obviously, of words, of three and couple. And I'm told by my colleagues that what used to be known, and probably still is in French, as the ménage, is it
à trois,
the sort of relationship with three people in, has become ever more popular.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you're going out in a blaze of glory, aren't you?
I had no idea about that.
He didn't know about throuple.
No. Well, there's even more advanced stages. The New York Times did a big thing on a polycule that live in a warehouse together.
Polycule?
Does it have to be a warehouse?
It does have to be. Well, there's like 12 of them. So.
What?
Yeah, so yeah, they're all in a kind of a relationship that's also, I guess, a sort of gang.
Oh, do you know what? I think I'd prefer the gang.
Yeah, I think I would as well.
I feel less intense. And what? I think I'd always find someone I quite liked for the afternoon.
Well, exactly. They say that in communes, if a kid doesn't like its parents, it'll just choose some other adults to hang around with and learn from.
Mm.
And yeah, so
a 20-person polycule, I suggest. Not even 12, 20.
Oh, that's quite a lot of hard work.
And that's also like cheating. But in a legitimate way.
Well, I believe it's called non-ethical.
Ethical.
Oh, ethical. I'm sorry. What is it called?
Ethical non-monogamy.
There you go, Frank.
Yeah. But also, if you're burgled, you could beat the hell out of this 20 people in the house.
You just burgled the wrong polycule, mister.
Yeah. Imagine burgling a house with 20 people in. Oh, man. I'm guessing 19 of them are men.
No, I don't know.
How does it normally work, the throuple? What's the most common?
I think we know. It's normally the man and then 19 women.
Oh, is it?
No, it's mainly. The only one I've met was two guys and a girl.
Two men.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Quite unusual, that one, Pierre. I think it is. How does it work with the plus ones, though, at the function? Will you be bringing your partner?
Oh, yeah, you'd have to get two plus ones.
Well, you have to get more than two. You have to get... What about the polycules?
I know, but the polycule can look after themselves. I'm on about the
polycule
throuple.
Is an event.
A
20-people polycule is big enough that you never really fully meet some of them.
I don't think there's 20 people in my address book. So how am I going to find them?
You'd be struggling with the throuple.
Oh, the throuple. It sounds good, though. I'd be happy with the two men in a throuple.
Morning, Kath.
Be nice. Be nice to have someone to talk to. Anyway. No, I think it's... maybe you're right.
This is Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.
We were in Nottingham last week, as I said, and we stayed at the Crown Plaza.
We did.
And sometimes when you check into your room, you get a bit of a little treat on the desk, which is quite exciting. I've had a few lovely, boxes of chocolates and stuff.
On the desk or in the room?
Well, on the desk in
really?
The room.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Sometimes you get a glass and a little mini bottle of wine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I've seen that.
There was one the other week, no good to me, but it was a little bottle of gin and a little bottle of tonic and a glass next to it.
Oh, did you give that to Pierre?
I gave it to Omar, actually.
And a bee's heart.
He was glad. Yeah. No, I ate that myself, obviously.
In the bath.
But this time, I'm going to put a picture of this up, actually. I've sent it to Jenny Foote for her to put up on her. Mm. There was a piece of slate with welcome written in chocolate and a strawberry.
White or dark chocolate?
Dark chocolate.
Okay.
One strawberry.
Okay. Broken also, Britain.
Also, they
exactly.
They'd done it at...
this is Sunak's Britain.
they'd also crafted these things when you could check in from, so at 3 p.m. So by the time we got there at midnight, there was no question of being able to eat the chocolate unless you did a bit of chiselling.
Well, I'll put a picture of the strawberry. The strawberry had sort of... It had taken itself in an embrace with its own foliage.
May I ask a question? Thank you, I will. Was the strawberry and the chocolate welcome script, was that in lieu of a chocolate on the pillow?
There was no... I rarely get chocolate on the pillow anymore, if you'll pardon that quote from my memoirs.
Oh, God.
But no.
Actually disgusting. No. You are sickening.
A woman once knocked on my hotel door.
Oh, here we go.
I had to let her out. No, and knocked on my door and said, do you want me to turn your top blanket back?
Oh,
and
my
I
God.
Said, well, I've heard some. And then she just held out a piece of chocolate. And that used to be the thing. They would leave one on your pillow. But if you were in, they would hand it to you.
Oh. What do you think of a swan towel display?
Oh, well, Pierre got something very, very similar.
Oh, yeah. Pierre, what did you get?
Well, the full video is on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. But I went in and there was a case of mistaken identity, I think.
Oh. Probably.
I hope so. Because I had a piece of slate in front of the TV with two strawberries.
Lovely.
And written on it in rock hard chocolate on a piece of slate was happy anniversary.
Oh, no.
And I thought, right. And I turned around and the bed had a big towel sculpture of a heart covered in little paper hearts and two swan towels kissing with hearts on them.
Yeah, not very PR.
See, I would have thought maybe it was Omar, the tour manager, and it was in honour of, it might have been some anniversary of when you and Frank started touring together or something.
Right,
first time we gigged together.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
A bit strange.
It's a bit strange, yeah. It was quite, I did check all the corners behind
the
curtain.
Did you call them and say that you've made a mistake, this is for someone else?
I got a vibe that there would be a sort of, oh, okay. Right. There wouldn't be
look,
a much
I love
done.
Pierre, but he can be an intolerant man to try. Yeah.
Yeah.
We walked past this screen that had an advert playing on it. And there was a noise on the advert. That
it was
sort
in the
of
car.
Went, it's, oh, was it in the
don't
car?
Don't do the noise.
Okay, I won't do the noise.
No, but I need the noise.
Incredibly
well,
wet slurping.
Bit, sort of...
No, sorry. Not.
And Pierre just got his phone out. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm complaining about that now. Just immediately. He's actually said to complain to me.
Is the only way I can feel better about it. Absolutely disgusting.
Oh, it's very tense out there. Fantastic. That's Dead Freight with Shot Girl Summer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, Oh, is that a pun on Hot Girl Summer?
Yeah.
Love it. Sarah's nodding. Do you know what Hot Girl Summer is?
No.
Okay, I'll explain to you later. We're educating you a lot this morning. What have you learned, Frank, this morning?
Thropples.
Yeah.
And the tongue kissing is still popular.
We didn't volunteer that. That was something you asked.
Yeah.
And you know Hot Girl Summer?
I don't know what it is, but tell me after if it's
okay.
Awesome.
It's like having a moment. It's like, you know.
Menopause.
No!
Okay, just sound perimenopause?
No!
No, I went, that's a kid I went to school with.
I think you'll find he used to play for Arsenal.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we've heard from the outside world, Frank.
Yeah.
We're juggling a few plates at the moment. Balls. Mix some metaphors there. Simon on the Black Isle.
The Black Isle?
Yeah.
What is that?
We've heard from him before.
I don't know. What I decided to do was just say it in a very confident voice.
Yeah.
And I thought it would get through.
The Black Isle.
Is it Ireland at night?
Why are you sounding
like a pirate?
Yeah.
I'll send an email in to Frank.
You've got something of the pirate in you.
Do you think?
Don't you think?
We saw a pirate, didn't we? We were in Camden.
We did see a pirate.
You saw a pirate.
We saw a guy.
We certainly saw a sort of admiral.
Yeah.
Hang on, talk me through the pirate.
It was a guy. He had those big black boots with the big overturning leather things.
Napoleon.
Tight white trousers. And a blue velvet long coat.
Sort of coat.
Did you get a number for him?
And a shirt with the long hanging cuffs and the frills on the chest.
It's fully, but he wasn't.
Did he have like a tricolore hat? What was the hat?
He didn't have a hat.
He didn't seem
to have a hat. He was off duty.
Yeah.
Off duty?
He wasn't.
He was on shore leave.
A landlubber.
No, but it was a fashion thing. He wasn't giving away free parrots or anything. Well, you don't see that much.
Was the pity.
You don't see that much.
I won't get one free.
No good with my narrow shoulders.
I'm afraid
Pierre would have to take mine as well.
Yeah.
And they live for 100 years. They're the leather crown of the bird world.
Would you be a thruple if you had two
parrots? Yeah, this is me, thruple.
We're in
and I can't get a word in edgeways.
We practice ethical non-monogamy.
Wouldn't be polyandry.
Pretty poly.
Anyway, carry on.
So, Simon Feegrade on the Black Isle has got in touch. Isn't honey food bees make for themselves? You were talking earlier, Frank. You were talking about the sort of honeycomb display.
It was a massive honeycomb.
It concerned you that you felt what you were essentially doing was brutalising their home.
Eating a housing estate.
And Simon from the Black Isle says...
Black Isle.
Are you going to keep doing that every time I say it? So taking the honeycomb is actually more like taking the contents of their kitchen store cupboards.
I see.
Okay.
Still feels quite bad.
They do sort of live next to the store cupboards of honey, though. It is in the hive, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And you're taking their kitchens.
I'm eating the wax as well. You don't just eat, because I was getting bits of wax out of my teeth for about 3 hours afterwards.
Yeah.
That's when I needed someone who was doing tonguey kissing. Oh. You just get that bit of, go back one, there. Oh. That's it.
What you needed was, what are they called, polycube?
Polycules.
Polycule. Because
polycules?
You needed that, Frank, because there's 20 in that.
Oh, I thought polycules was what parrots consisted of when broken down to their smallest
My actual God.
Oh, man, Frank. How many parrot jokes. Sorry.
Frank, Susie, just FYI, says, hello, Frank, so our beautiful boo gives blood at the pet blood bank, because you were asking about this earlier.
She is given constant doggo treats
and gets to choose a toy after the procedure.
Gosh.
So there is, in fact, a pet blood bank. I won't be taking Ray there. He's too slight.
I might check that out. It's a noble thing to do.
Mm.
Okay. I think strays would be all right, wouldn't you?
What do you mean?
You could blend them.
God.
This week on Tuesday is the ARIA Awards.
Yes, for which we are nominated.
Are we?
We're nominated for Best Comedy Show.
Oh, that's a bit embarrassing, isn't it?
Well, me and Pierre will be in King's Lynn.
Yeah.
Notice I wasn't invited.
Well, to King's Lynn?
No, to the Arias.
I think you can safely say if none of us have been invited, we haven't won. I think that's how it works. So that's another thing gone. Anyway, what else?
We've had some funny replies to the... We've put up the picture of the slate with drizzled chocolate and one strawberry on.
Oh, yeah.
And we've had a mixture of responses. That art guy says, that's awesome. Whereas Neil Stanley replies, do they want you there or not?
I also like Art and Hugh, who makes our wonderful designs. Yes. We had them last week. Thank you, Art and Hugh. Who's referred to it as a Spartan Valentine's Day.
Yes, that's
good. It does have something of the Spartan culture about it.
I imagine it's when you joined a medieval monastery. That would be in your cell.
Ave.
Do you know what it feels like? It feels like if I went on a date with Conan the Barbarian, yeah. That is how he'd greet me.
No, then it would be me, wouldn't he?
Oh, would it?
I think
it would. Who played Conan Barbarian?
It was Arnie.
It was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, I thought it was Christopher Lambert. Was he another one?
He was Highlander.
Yeah.
Oh. Do you notice I called him Conan Barbarian?
Conan Barbarian.
Mr.
Barbarian was my father. Call me Conan.
Did he have a chat show in America, Conan Barbarian?
Please, Mr. Barbarian, I really must insist.
Please, can we ask you to leave? You're causing such a mess.
Really?
It would be welcome in dog's blood, and there'd be a little bee heart on the slate if you were going out with Conan.
Can I ask you a question about Conan the Barbarian, Frank?
Sure. I've got the book of the film. I have got the book.
He's getting a bit desperate with his boasting now.
I had to have the talk with my son. He said, Dad, can I ask you a question about Conan the Barbarian? I knew this day would come.
Yeah. I'll get out my coffee table book of Conan the Barbarian.
If someone ever asked me what was the most tragic boast of Frank Skinner's, I will tell them, I've got the book of the film of Conan the Barbarian. My question to you about Conan the Barbarian is, what did he wear, a sort of skirt short?
Loincloth.
Was it a loincloth?
I think of him in fur.
Fur boots and a sort of tatty loincloth.
Were there what was the outfit?
Oh, the red cross thing.
That was Christmas Conan.
No, it was
Did he do a Christmas outfit?
The original James Bond.
Oh, Sean Connery.
That was a Sean Connery outfit where he had like a little red Speedo on and two crossed red belts.
Yeah. Okay.
Some apocalypse movie.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to clear that up.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Conan's a loincloth man.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, very much.
Okay. Anyway.
They should remake it with Ronan Keating.
Ronan
the Barbarian. I don't think that's going to happen. What else?
We have heard from, is it 528? You used to be able to send luggage ahead in the days of British Railways. Ina Sharples.
Well, that'll come back now, and it's the beginning.
Yeah.
Ina Sharples, you remember her from Coronation Street? Ina Sharples, Frank, used to refer to people she thought posh as being very luggage in advance.
That's great.
That's good.
That's from Glenn in Milton Keynes.
Coronation Street was amazing. There was one when she said, I remember when my poor mother died. She was in bed. She said she suddenly sat up straight in bed, broke wind, and then passed away. Oh, that was working class drama.
Oh, the humanity.
Claire Sturgis is coming up next. Do listen to Claire. And actually, this is the last time I'll ever say this. If the good Lord spares us and the creeks don't rise, we'll be back again this time next week. Now get out.
This is Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.